I'm Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on action and sci-fi films. What a night we are having. Our producer, Tiny Lindsay Pavlis, in the booth with a pretty bad headache that I think she got from playing too much League of Legends. I don't even know what that is. I just know sometimes I click on a little link on her Twitter and there's a teeny little picture of her in the corner and she's wearing a headset and tank top usually. And she's like, pew, 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 pew. And then there's other guys on the screen. They're like, you know, or whatever. And point is, I think it's video games. But thinking of her tonight, Lindsay, thanks for muscling through. Our gal in the booth, Lindsay Pavlis. Also, big, big week for your old host, Aruni, Cameron Esposito. I want to welcome our panelists, and then I'm going to chat to you guys about some cool stuff that happened. I don't know, just not like in a braggy way, but good God, what a weird ass week I had. It was an ass week, I'll tell you that much. The Lady James Dean, Ms. Rhea Butcher, how are you?
I've got a weird ass.
How's your ass week?
It's weird, a little bit of a weird ass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My ass is weird.
May I say? Not weird in the slightest.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Normative ass.
Normative ass. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great film. It's also a nice Norm Macdonald special.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ricky Carmona, the Afro spokesman. How are you, Ricky?
What it do, people?
Great to hear you're coming in long and strong. That's not how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's disgusting.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite movie. Which one was that?
You're coming in long in the tooth.
You're coming in a little old. Even.
Have you guys seen Paranormal Ass? What was it?
Astivity.
Astivity. There you go.
You guys that are our regular listeners, not only do we have these great, great, great panelists and an amazing show featuring a review of Mad Max, which is a very bad movie, we also have, well, you know what? I just want to say this was a wild week after It's a Wild World, is what I said to Cat Stevens, but he was like, that's not my name anymore. And I was like, I remember, and sorry about the no-fly list. But my point is, I was on Conan. That happened after this time we recorded this. We made a podcast come out of our mouths. I got the old call from Conan himself. He always calls you. It's him. There's no Booker. It's just Conan calls you.
Hey, Cameron, yeah. It's Conan.
Exactly. And was on that show. So you can see that on the internet. Very excited about that. Also, my album, my upcoming stand-up album, I released a clip. There's a video clip that is called Woman Who Doesn't Sleep With Men that has 500,000 views.
Boom!
That happened in a week.
That's what's up.
By half a mil.
That's
it went
up.
Viral.
Half a milli.
I've never had anything go viral. The fun thing about a video going viral is that the hatred comes from all over. It's people you don't know, people you know, people you've never heard of, people that don't know what stand-up comedy is. So my point is, it's been a weird week, a lot of interaction. I'm really happy about it, and I want to let you know, hey, how can we support you, you said to yourselves, because you're getting all this weird backlash about your vest from people that clicked on it on buzzfeeduk.org.
From Australia.
The Advocate.
Good day.
HuffPo.
Dot Kiwi.
And it was a listicle.
Reddit.
Do you think when they were like, yeah, let's call it listicle, it doesn't sound like testicle at all?
It's really weird that people thought that we would assume that that meant list and article,
right.
Not list of testicles.
Right. It sounds like it's like truck nuts for a list of things.
It sounds like it's going to say listicle and then underneath, baggy, pretty tight, small, long. Long and strong.
Ugh.
Okay, sorry, I'm just naming types of testicles. I don't know if these are even true. But you can go to, and not you can, would you please go to killrockstars.com/same-sex-symbol and support the wonderful stand-up comedy that comes out of my mouth by ordering my upcoming album, which is called Same Sex Symbol. It would mean so much to me. And Rhea and I will be on tour in Lexington, Kentucky, Nashville, Tennessee, Peoria, Illinois, beautiful Peoria.
One of
the places that we cemented our relationship, and I'm not kidding about that at all. We were dating other people. We weren't sure if we were going to make it as a couple. We decided to be exclusive in a relationship after going to Peoria. Illinois. So thanks, Peoria. Akron, Ohio will be there. We'll be in Chicago. We'll be in New York, San Francisco, Denver, Portland. I'll be in Toronto. You can find all that information at CameronEsposito.com. I understand that that was plug heavy up top, but I've got a lot of stuff that I really want you guys to be aware of, and I want you to come to some shows because we got a big old tour coming up. Hey, is the whole show plugs? No. Some of it is. I was going to think of like a Home Depot reference, like another, what's another thing? But
I was going to say there's no John Travolta on this episode.
It's ratchets. In my mind, that's the opposite of a plug.
Ratchets?
I don't know.
I was going to go for a butt plug joke, but okay. We're not that kind of show,
yeah,
right?
No, I mean,
come on.
Not yet. But we will be after this. We'll be back with news reviews, things you can use, and butt plugs right after this. Awesome, and welcome back. You guys, I didn't even really get into the dirt on how you're doing. How are you, Ricky?
Can we start recording? Oh, don't ask me that. I'm having a terrible week, and
are
I would
you?
Feel
not having a
like
good
I would
week.
I would be lying and okay. having fake enthusiasm.
That's okay. You don't have to, you can have a bad week.
Thank
you can still be the Ricky Carmona that we know and love.
All right.
And just be like, what it do, people?
I did that actually, once, and my brother was like, hey, what's up? I heard you on the show, and you sounded like shit. What's going on?
Oh,
and I was like, oh, no.
That's actually kind of sweet that your fam is like, his what it do was at half mass.
Yeah.
What it don't.
What it
what
did.
It
what it didn't.
Well, I'm sorry you're having a tough week.
Thank you.
It is nice to see you.
Thank you. It's good to be seen.
Rhea, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm exhausted because we went for a hike immediately this morning.
Yeah,
we're
apparently out of shape.
Wore my little toddler legs out and I really needed a Bjorn.
And I had to carry our dog.
I needed to be worn in
a
Bjorn.
So you're saying that you would have wanted me to be wearing you
in a Bjorn
who was wearing our dog?
Yes.
That actually makes that right there is exactly our relationship.
Yes, it is.
It's just like Rhea being like,
can you carry me and hold the dog? Just constantly holding my hands up in the air.
The best part being toddler. You're 5 inches taller than me.
Yeah, that's the best part.
So your legs are just
my
dragging
heels
on
are
either
dragging
sides of
on
my
the
leg.
Ground. But I need that. I need to be lifted every now and then.
And I need to lift. That's a big part. I can't relax. So it's nice to be...
But there was only one set of footprints and two lines on the sides of the footprints.
That's when I was Bjorning you.
When I was Bjorning you.
Well, we do have a little bit of news on the show today. We've got Zack Snyder, who he made 300, Man of Steel. What was that weird?
The Watchmen. Don't forget that.
Oh, but also.
Watchmen. Oh, Sucker Punch.
I mean, yes, Sucker Punch. Yipsy doozle.
Yikes.
I saw part of that. And I rarely see part of movies. Like, I'll finish a bad movie, but not that one.
I don't think I got fully through that one. I think I at least started watching it, and then I was like, I could start cleaning and just leave it on.
You know what I call that movie? Sucker Moan. Wait, shit, I fucked it up. It was going to be a Sailor Moon. I hate myself.
Where did that even go?
It was a Sailor Moon joke because she's like wearing a... I don't care. We're having a tough week. But he is being rumored. He is rumored to be directing an Aquaman movie.
Uh-huh.
Did you guess know who is going to be the Aquaman?
Oh, that's right, your boy.
Yeah, it's Jason Momoa. We know him from the Earth, but he might go in the water. And he was, of course, Khal Drogo and Conan the Barbarian, and
that biker in that movie that he made.
Yes, he was. Whatever that movie was.
Whatever
we saw
that
the
thing
trailer,
was,
we're going to see that.
This looks like a commercial. I'm watching the whole thing.
I think that guy's so handsome, and he's got a beautiful eyebrow scar, and he's going to look real weird being in the ocean because he's very big. Not that big things can't go in the ocean. I understand whales and dolphins are real, but I just mean he's like, don't you guys think Aquaman's like a little bit streamlined?
Sure, yeah.
Isn't
I mean, you kind of think
Aquaman?
Of a swimmer's body when you
like
think of
Michael
Aquaman.
Phelps. Like, what's he
up
to?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He's like,
you don't necessarily think
off.
Of like a linebacker when you think of somebody that's a swimmer.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, I don't know, you can't really do a lot of great arm swimming, you know, when your muscles are hitting your
so
pectorals.
Tight. Sure, yeah.
You can't move your arms behind yourself. But Aquaman movie?
Is he going to be in the new. Is he going to be in Man of Steel?
I don't know.
The sequel? I feel like I heard his name being thrown around.
That's when he gets to be the Aqua Baby?
I think so.
Introduce it?
Yeah. And then he called, and then Zack Snyder called it because people were asking, not what we're doing now, but people were like, man, why is he casting? That's a terrible idea. And then I guess Zack Snyder called into like some radio show last week.
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah.
In like Michigan or something.
Yeah. Not like Hot 97 or some shit. Just like some.
Hey, I was driving to work and I heard you talking about me and I'm here filming a movie and sorry about it, but I agree with myself.
I'm right. Thanks.
I wonder also, this is a really stupid question. I'm not versed on Aquaman. Does he have powers
outside of the water?
Water? What's
his
deal?
I don't know. Animals. In the water.
He gets discounts at Red Lobster.
Wait, can he talk to animals out of the water?
He can talk to aquatic animals.
So, like, for him to be effective on land, he has to be...
surrounded by goldfish.
Like, at a Chinese restaurant.
Yes.
With, like, betta fish swimming
past. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Or something
I'm not... don't... I'm probably wrong, but I feel like this is true.
But he can't control water?
No, he can't control water.
He just controls water animals?
He is a man of the water.
He lives in the water, he controls water animals?
Yeah.
Let's say him and I...
No, he doesn't control them, he just can talk to them.
He...
and work with them.
So like a St. Francis of Assisi sort of situation?
Exactly, yes.
Let's say him and I are watching Flipper, and I don't have the subtitles on. Can he tell what Flipper is saying? Like, can he do that?
Absolutely,
word.
Yes.
I'll see that movie.
That sounds...
If the movie was Ricky Carmona and Aquaman watching Flipper, I would be the first person in line to that. And I would buy 3D and IMAX to see that movie.
That sounds like a great movie. Well, I'm sorry we don't know what Aquaman does, but I think our guesses are great guesses. And I hope that there's some way that makes sense to put that in a movie.
Well, thank God they're making that before the Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank God they're hedging their bets and being like, if this movie that she's partially in and is probably mostly just a love interest, if that movie does okay, we will consider making a Wonder Woman movie, who is an Amazon who flies around and has a lasso and is gigantic. That's very interesting. As opposed to a dude
Aquaman
that talks
talk
to starfish.
To Tusk. The film Tusk.
Oh, my God.
Talk to that guy. Ugh, that's a disgusting thing. I'm sorry I brought it up. Okay. All right. So there's been some buzz about wanting to get more gals involved in the Expendables movies.
About what?
And of course, I think we're all in agreement that would be a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But did you guys hear that Sigourney actually passed? So for a while, people were like, why aren't you getting Sigourney Weaver on this, and then word came out that she had got an offer, even.
For
and she...
the Expendables. Don't forget to specify.
Wait, that's...
this is a specific female Expendables that they're making.
I thought it was for the regular Spendies.
It's not for the regular ones. They're making a female-specific...
No, they're not.
Expendables.
No, they're not.
Like, Bells of the...
First of all, that already exists in pornography. I'm sure that TM is
probably
taken. Expendables also taken.
Yeah.
Sexpendables.
Yeah, exactly.
Sexpendables.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a franchise.
Me over.
Sexed Spendables, which is, like a more digital option. Well, that makes sense then. Why would she be in that movie? This is an important woman. I'm not going to put her in the Expendables. Mm-hmm. Who's in it? Do you know who else is in it?
No, they're still casting it. They're still trying to decide whether they're going to have female action stars or they're just going to have female actors.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh, for God's sake. What the hell? See, this is what's frustrating is also that once you call something the Expendables, then there's no reason for legitimately awesome people to be in it. Like, no.
Oh, because it's condescending?
Yes, exactly. You're not courting the people that we would want. So,
did you hear that Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jet Li's characters in the movie are gay? I just thought they were gay. I don't know if that means like they're a couple together or
this is a spoiler for the Expendables 3. Just saying, I mean, it's been on the internet, so sorry, it was kind of a spoiler to even bring it up, but I'm just saying, spoiler for Expendables 3, if you don't want to be spoiled on the plot points of that movie, it's like a sort of throwaway moment at the end of the movie, where they're all hanging out together, as they do at the end of every Expendables movie.
Mm-hmm. When they're we expended it.
Shit got expended.
And Arnold and Jet are, like, snuggling together. and somebody says to them, oh, get a room. And they're like, we don't need a room. And they get closer to each other.
Yeah.
And they ask the director, like, are they supposed to be gay? And he's like, kind of, yeah. He was like, that's pretty much what I was trying to do, or something like that. Like, kind of a non-committal answer, but which is kind of interesting. Yeah. I haven't gotten out to see that one just yet, because I haven't gotten a kick in the butt to go see The Expendables 3. But honestly, I saw that, and I was like, well, now I kind of want to see it.
I just wanted to see that scene.
Yeah,
that scene sounds fun.
Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think they only put that in there because the size differential between those two people is hilarious? that was the whole reason for including that scene.
They only put Jet Li. He's a great action star, don't get me wrong, but that's what they continually do with him throughout every movie, is make fun of how small he is. So I feel like they already did that, and it's like, not, I don't think it's out of nowhere, you know what I mean, to be like, oh, look at how tiny he is.
Is that why you throw that in there, just to be like, well, here's a size gag, see you later. All right,
but it is Arnold, though.
Final who is a giant person. That's my main point.
I bet you he's not that tall.
He's a very tiny man.
I'm not saying he's tall. You guys realize he's as wide as anything that exists in the world, right?
Sure.
Literally any warehouse or aircraft carrier can be measured in one Arnold. I believe that's where the expression, hey, Arnold, comes from. Because he's just, like, so big, he hits you. Okay, it doesn't matter.
All right.
Guys, come on. We're not as a group tonight.
I'm with you.
Each of us
I'm
is
here.
On our own vibe. That's fine. Hey, we've
got a separate chemistry going on.
Yeah, we've got a real separate chemistry going on. We got a real individual mind.
There's,
you know what they always say
in
improv? No, but thanks. Sharknado 3 confirmed for next summer.
Hilarious.
I feel like Sci-Fi Channel figured it out. I mean, Sharknado is really the reason that we started doing musicals on TV, because the buzz that film created.
They figured out how to make a movie that is a hashtag.
Yes.
You know, like, instead of like, oh, here's this movie, then use this hashtag, it's like, well, the movie, you can see it or not see it.
Yeah.
And the hashtag transcends the movie itself and is just, like, moving on. And it's a cultural touchstone.
The funny thing is that, you know, they have it's such a low-budget thing that you could essentially, you know, wait out Sharknado 3 through 9 to get to the point where every year there's a Sharknado, and then there's Sharknado 10, and there's people that have grown up with this. Like, it doesn't matter. It's a throwaway thing. These movies cost them, like, no money to make.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is that kind of thing where, like, now that they've established this as an annual tradition, there's no reason not to continue it.
It's like a new miniseries.
Yes, exactly.
You know? Yeah. It's like the Thornbirds for 2014.
The Thorn Sharks.
The Thornbirds.
We'll be back with a brand new pitcher right after this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
And I'm Dr. Sydney McElroy.
Every Tuesday, we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine, a show about all the dumb, weird, terrible ways that we've tried to fix each other over the years. You know, some light summer listening.
Maybe you want to hear about yogurt enemas, or why we tried to eat mummies for a while, or why drinking cholera diarrhea sounded like a good idea.
That and so much more is waiting for you every Tuesday right here on the Maximum Fun Network with Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
And welcome back. Now, for today's Pitch It, I want to get in on some of this Sharknado buzz. I want to get in on some of this sci-fi action and movie podcast Wham Bam Pow. I really want for you guys to pitch me some ideas for obscure disasters. You know, is there a snake on a plane? Probably. Is there a shark in a NATO? Maybe, depending on what is allowed in the North American Trade Organization. Now, Rhea.
Yes.
Your pitch for an obscure disaster, let me hear it.
You ready for this one?
Yeah.
That was terrifying.
That was
what
great.
You just did with your face.
I hate.
Okay, so yes, we've got Sharknado, we've got Into the Storm. All of these things have water involved, so I think we need to do something on dry land that would be terrifying.
Yeah, something Aquaman cannot control.
That he has nothing to do with. So I came up with the idea for Cicada Flood Watch.
Ooh, wait, but that would... Because flood...
It has nothing to do with water. There's too many cicadas.
Okay, I feel like the... first of all, really hate the title because it just sounds like water.
Cicada, the tide is rising.
No, no. Again, you
can't. Cicada, drowning in wings.
No, no, you're... No, it's not... You can't do drink some cicada. You can't say cicada drought.
Do you like pina cicada?
Rhea, listen. Your dry land cicada pitches are terrible. How about terra cicada?
No. All right.
How about...
terrorist cell cicada.
How about... Sick Ada.
I don't understand.
No, it's like this woman called Ada, but she's sick because of cicadas.
Okay.
It's like a sick Ada. Cicadas.
So she's sick.
She's sick, but because of cicadas.
Okay.
I don't know.
Cicada Dunes.
That's now, Jesus, now you're cooking with fuel.
Colon. Piles of cicadas.
Yeah. This sounds very biblical.
Yeah, it's somewhat biblical, and it's starring Tom Jane, and it's directed by Frank Darabont.
Wow, I love Tom Jane.
And it's going to be in the middle of Iowa in Cedar Rapids.
Uh-huh.
It's a sleepy town.
Is this related to the cicadas that come every 17 years when you live in the Midwest?
Yes, and this is the 17th year.
Ooh.
But this year, they're back.
Yeah.
And they want revenge.
Uh-huh. Wait, do you think it's the 17th year?
Yes.
And so therefore it's like,
and it's,
you know?
It's 2017.
Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, will Kristen, who I went to grade school with, be involved?
Of course she will. She's going to wear a cicada costume.
That's right.
And she is going to actually save the day.
That's right. Because I went to grade school with a girl who was obsessed with cicadas.
Yes.
And her name is Kristen.
Yes.
And she wore a cicada costume from first until fourth grade, every day to school. We had a uniform, but she had a little hat she wore with eyes, a little red eyes on it, and she sang a song, a cicada song. She sang it at my birthday party, actually.
Was it by John Cicada?
John Cicada certainly should have covered it. But
so the soundtrack is going to be by John Cicada.
That's great.
John Cicada Mellencamp is doing a couple backing vocals.
Oh, cicadas are gross. Do you think, what if it's like, we shall return?
We shall?
Yeah, because they leave those disgusting shells
everywhere.
Because
they leave their husks all over the place?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We shall return. Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm into this because
that's great.
Disgusting.
Cicada
bugs are
dunes.
Awful. Sounds like a birds sort of a situation. Like,
yeah, it's a birds.
An updated...
The happening kind of a thing where you're like, what's happening?
Cool.
And it's that stuff. Ugh, God, shut up.
Yeah.
So it's like 2 hours of just like really annoying noise.
What if another tagline is like, high cost, low cost? You know what I mean? Because it's like the locust, but the cost is so
high. High cost of locusts?
Yeah, the high cost of locusts.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like...
I like that.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Does anyone turn into a cicada? Is that part of it?
Yeah, Tom Jane turns into a cicada at the end.
Great.
It's very Brundlefly kind of a thing. He pukes on a Zagnut and then...
On a Zagnut?
Your friend Kristen
is... that what happens
is,
in The Fly?
He
pukes on a Zagnut?
I think so, yeah.
No, he pukes on...
Oh, I'm sorry.
People.
Zagnut is from Beetlejuice. I apologize. I'm so sorry.
I mean,
I crossed the streams of my references.
Honestly, I don't care. In this movie, he pukes on a Zagnut.
He pukes on a Zagnut this time.
Ricky, what do you got for me?
As always, it's great to be here in your mansion made out of mansions.
Yeah,
I put a bunch
of mansions together. I mansioned it up.
Yeah. Oh, also on your
yes.
I want to tell you how to write your script there, Rhea. But I love the line that you said. This is like The Happening, and then somebody, another character, should say, "What's happening?"
Yes,
I think that's a great.
It should.
That's a great little beat right there.
Constantly
emotional.
Saying to each other, "What's happening?"
So what I did, Cameron, is I went online to find out who are like the villains in society right now. Who is it that's driving people crazy?
What did you look up?
I just went to like websites I like to go to.
Yeah, websites, the internet.com.
Yeah, I went on theinternet.com, you know, I went on google.com.
And you put in like, what's up with everybody?
Yeah. And I found out that people right now don't like bros.
Oh,
bros are a very. Ugh.
I always say hoes before bros.
Always. She says
when I'm talking about lawn equipment.
Sure, of course. I like that you call it lawn equipment as well. I have, get ready for this title, Bronado.
Okay.
Where it's a tornado of bros that are just going through cities, destroying them with their broness.
What's upsetting people? Too many brims upside the head?
Yes. Yeah, that, like, okay. I like
Is
that.
Is it brimming?
A lot of brims. A lot of just use of the word bro. You know what I'm saying, bro? Bro, okay. Where you at, bro? A lot of that.
Miller Lite bottles everywhere?
Yeah. A lot of Miller Lite bottles. A lot of...
I mean, you know Rhea and I hate men, so we're with you already. Well,
a lot of Axe body spray. Just everywhere. There's no axes in this movie. A lot of, like, axes themselves don't exist, but Axe body spray does.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty crazy. Another idea I had, I've noticed another trend, a lot of beards. A lot of beards going around.
Sure.
So I came up with, get ready for this title, Beardnado. Which is like
a tornado
of like beards. Yeah.
That, Ricky, is disgusting.
Yes.
That's disgusting. You guys, that one, Bronado, I could give or take.
Yeah, I'm not too crazy about that one.
The minute you said that, I was imagining like a swirling vortex of hair. Like, I don't know that I want them to be individual beards. Like, kind of, I mean, maybe some of them are beards individually, but then as a group, just viewed from away, distance, it just looks like. A drain. It looks like a drain in the worst place you've ever been. Let's say it's not a NATO.
Okay.
What if it's like a... I mean, that is a beautiful image, so I want to leave that. But besides just being an additional NATO, which it could be, I'm also thinking like beardocaine.
Ooh, you know, like, I like that, for sure.
And that, you know,
for
like
sure.
Kind of a wet hair. Mm-hmm. Like a wet, loose hair.
I'm also thinking of a spinoff, if you will, pardon the pun, of... dryer lint cyclone. That would be pretty gross.
That's disgusting. What about if one of the characters is like, oh, beard got on me, and then they're like, that's not a beard, and then that was just it was a pube joke. I don't know. I'm not sure if people would like that.
No, it's okay. I'm not gonna rule that out.
Would like that, but I feel like
they might.
People might like that.
Armpit NATO.
What if some of the hair is really long?
Oh, it's going to be, like, nasty. Oh. Boom.
Well, what happened to the people where all the faces, where these things grew?
Well, I mean, there's a mythology
like,
that
like
I'm building.
Like, an animating of the, like, the hair becomes...
Well, they're
like
going to be, it's going to be like, remember that beautiful scene in Pirates of the Caribbean, or Caribbean, depending on where you're from? And the dead pirates are walking on the bottom of the ocean. People who have lost their beards from other countries, they'll be walking under the water, sans beard, with no beard, trying to get to their beards. I mean, it's terrifying, isn't it?
That is.
I'm frightened right now.
Yeah. I feel sick to my stomach. all right, I have to say, of these two things, they kind of live in different worlds for me. I think this beard thing is, you know, very hip, very ready for Vice magazine, you know, or internet.com to write about it.
Yes.
Rhea, I think the cicadas thing, truly terrifying, almost a horror movie.
Absolutely.
But I think this week, I honestly have to give it to Rhea. Because there's nothing more disgusting than a bug landing on you. A beard landing on you, you can slough that off. A bug landing on you, you have to cut off that arm. That's why I am a stump. Ladies and gentlemen, for now, we will put the Cicada film into development.
Soundtrack by John Cicada.
Soundtrack by John Cicada. We'll be back with a with a review of Mad Max right after this.
I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host a comedy podcast about parenting where we remind you that despite what the internet says,
no one really cares what kind of parent you are.
One bad mother. We're the friends with kids you want to hang out with.
Check us out on iTunes and MaximumFun.org.
¶¶
final segment in a beautiful show. It's been such a great time so far, and we still haven't even gotten to our review of a dick flick, which this week is Mad Max. Now, this is a 1979 film that is currently available on Netflix. Watch instant. Guys, spoilers do follow. Who directed this movie? That's a great question. George Miller. Now, guys, I don't know if you cross-referenced the dude who directed this movie, but if I were to tell you that he also directed the movie Babe, Pig in the City, and also Happy Feet, would you believe me? Because it's true.
I still don't believe you.
Yeah. He produced a couple other films, including the original Babe, but he made all the Mad Max movies. Then he made Babe, Pig in the City. Then he made Happy Feet. So I'm just saying,
Happy Feet is a crazy movie.
In what way?
It makes no sense.
I've not seen it. I just assumed those feet were happy.
Happy Feet makes no sense.
Why
I watched it one time. I mean, it just, the plot meanders, and then all of a sudden, it turns into a global warming thing at the very end. It makes no sense.
Okay.
Whatsoever. It's a penguin that dances, and
so
then all of a sudden, he's...
You are most upset with George Miller for making the movie Happy Feet?
Indeed.
Not the movie Mad Max.
Well, we haven't gotten to that part
okay,
yet.
Okay, great. Also, this stars Mel Gibson and a bunch of people from Australia. Don't even know who we're specifically talking about here. And because there's not a lot of... It's weird that he is so famous for the rest of his life and that I honestly didn't even realize this was an Australian movie. I don't know what I thought it was. I think I heard about the later Mad Maxes, the remakes, and I thought, like, Thunderdome and Tina Turner's in it. Isn't she in one of these movies?
She's in the last one.
Yeah.
And I guess I just thought that's what this was. I didn't realize this is a low-budge Australian movie. I didn't realize it was made for $400,000, money that George Miller made. He was an ER doctor. He worked in the ER, saved up his money, invested $400,000 making this movie. Now, this film made $8 million in the United States, but it made $100 million worldwide until the Blair...
In 1979.
Yeah.
Until the Blair Witch Project... So until the early 2000s, when is Blair
Witch? Like 95, I think, actually.
No, I think it's 98, maybe.
Yeah, it's in the late 90s.
Yeah,
all right.
Okay, so until Blair Witch, the largest grossing difference of all, the largest span between money invested and money made. Unreal. Think about that, though. Try to actually wrap your mind around that.
That's crazy.
This movie made 99 million dollars. It made $99 million.
Yeah.
He's like a super eccentric dude. Like he's a really interesting character. He didn't make a movie between the last Mad Max and I think it was like Babe, cuz they gave him the Justice League movie when they were going to make it years ago, and he had like all these like crazy ass ideas and like all these like they did like costume tests, and they were like, "Whoa, maybe you're not the guy for this movie." And then he just like went away again for a long time.
Well, it is weird to see some of the ways in which this film. Now, I'll say that I don't think this is a great movie, but it definitely had some impact, some cultural impact that you can see. And one of the things that I found out reading about this movie is that now this movie ends again. This is gonna be a spoiler right here with one of the bad guys being handcuffed by his foot, I guess, so foot cuffed to a car that is about to explode, and Mad Max even hands him a saw and says, these handcuffs will take 10 minutes to saw through, your foot will take 5 minutes to saw through, this car is going to explode, get to work. And then he leaves. That scene is the inspiration for the Saw movies and for the movie Saw and then every movie after that. So that scenario in Saw where we're all like, this is so crazy that somebody thought of this. Guys, did you know they didn't think of that? Did you know that wasn't them at all? They didn't think of that. Somebody else had thought of that. Well, so anyway.
The Mad Max movies, they're all very weird. They're strange movies to me. They're movies that I don't necessarily like, but I'll respect them. I'll be like, oh, sure, that one's on
there's a lot to respect in the fact that it got made. Also, just to keep costs low, the bikers in this movie are an actual biker gang called the Vigilantes. That's what Rhea and I were watching. We were like, what is happening here? These people are behaving in such a strange way. And now I'm realizing, like, oh, maybe it's just they're weirdos.
Yeah.
Like, they're just biker gang.
I also think there's something to be said for it being Australian and having that sense of humor or just understanding of what's going on, because that was, like, my biggest... I was just like, what is happening? There's, like, no setup to anything.
Well, it's a little weird because the tone of this movie is very mixed, and we'll talk about this in a second even more, but I think that's what might also contribute to what you're talking about. I guess we could just talk about it right now.
Sure.
So this film, this biker gang does awful things, and it's a dystopian future where the cops drive around, and basically the way that you win is you just drive faster than everybody. Like, this is a movie where there's no face-offs. It's just the bad guys will be on a bike or in a car, and then on a motorcycle or in a car, and then the police will be chasing them down, and then they just hit them, or the bad guys hit the police, and then that's the whole thing. Like, everybody dies once they're hit. It's not like there's nothing else going on. And I think what I was saying to Rhea is that it's fascinating to see a movie where that's true, because now the idea that a car chase could be the thing is... Like, we don't even have car chases that just involve two cars. Everything is like two cars, then one goes off a ramp into 17 other cars, and it rides on a flatbed truck for a while, and then it beams up to space, and it comes back down. Like, everything is so complicated. And some of the cinematography in here is unbelievable. Like, the shots where they're just following a car chase, and it goes forever. And it goes, these are long, long shots. Big parts of the movie. It is really beautiful and captivating, but also it's strange because there's like kind of a beauty to what's going on, because also they shot entirely in the day because they probably couldn't afford to shoot at night. So it's beautiful scenery, and then it's beautifully shot, and then it's seemingly funny. The bad guys all have kind of like a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like Willy Wonka energy, where they're like, hoo-hoo! Like, they're giving riddles, basically, like, shall I get you or shall you get me? Like, it's like a really weird animated thing. But then the things that they're actually doing are, like, they are stalking people through the forest, and it is very creepy. It's not just a little creepy, it's really, really creepy. So,
gross. And they're, like, sexually assaulting men and women.
Yeah, there's a lot of rape. Yeah. Now, Ricky,
pretty serious.
Full disclosure
here, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I have seen Mad Max before, and I have not enjoyed Mad Max. Actually, when I heard that they were making this new Mad Max Fury Road, I was like, oh, let's catch up and see what's going on with these Mad Max movies. And I watched them, and I did not like them. I was like, Mad Max, not for me. But I could see how...
Sorry, was that on
tape?
That
was great.
That was
me
drinking water.
That was a little bubbly. A little bubbly going on.
Sorry about that.
No, that was hilarious.
Okay, keep it down, Aquaman.
I'm communicating with a duck.
What Flipper say? So I was going to watch it again last night. Was all excited. Laid down on my couch. The title screen came up. It said Mad Max. And then I woke up this morning.
Is that when you fell asleep?
Yeah, it was literally
that
like
that early.
That's Mad amazing. Max showed up, and I was like, "Oh, that's right! It's got these really silly, like BMX kind of like title card,
chrome title."
Yeah.
Card.
And then I woke up this
and
morning.
You slept on your couch till morning.
Yeah.
Oh man,
I've done that before. It's a nice little. I got a nice couch.
Yeah, you do have a nice couch.
I got a nice couch. I'm just saying. Yeah.
All right. Well, Rhea and I did watch it, and.
Did you ladies like it?
What the hell is this?
We were terrified.
How is this a movie? I was very scared, which is weird. I couldn't figure out why. It's just like the tone is so creepy.
Yeah.
It's maybe because it's late the whole time. Like there's never
creepy
like
during
a...
the day is extra creepy, I think.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's more terrifying.
Yeah, it was very creepy.
It's unsettling.
And awful.
Yeah. Because it feels like everything should be okay right now.
And
right?
It's not okay.
It's definitely not.
Well, Rhea, what's the worst part of this movie?
Man, it's really hard... I guess I would say that honestly the worst part of this movie to me is that the plot is so slow for like the first two acts, and then he doesn't like go off until the last 17 minutes.
We did pause it. We were like, oh, okay, this is what. Like the,
now he's going to be Mad
gonna ramp
Max.
It up, and he's going to be so mad. There was 17 minutes.
And
left.
I was like, what could possibly happen? There's only only what 14 of that is actual film, you know, like because the credits are coming up.
So, Ricky, do you remember anything about what you didn't like about this movie?
Yeah, I remember the villains or like the bad guys, they are so kind of like over the top, and I don't know if that's just like a culture or like a movie culture thing, tonally wise with like movies from Australia, but I was just like, hey, you guys, just ramp it down a little bit. We're already in the future. Cars are the thing, so I'm already on board that this is gonna be kind of like crazy. But when they start like the first guy, there's a guy in the beginning. He's yelling about, I think he was singing a song, I'm the Knight Rider or some shit.
Yeah, the Knight Rider.
I remember just like, be like, the movie's starting like that. And I was just like, whoa, everybody, take it easy. Yeah. So I wasn't, and then actually, I do remember it being slow.
Pirates of the Caribbean is a really good example to bring up because the biker gang really kind of acts like those bad pirates or whatever. Like there's the pirates that are like very bumbling and like, but it makes sense in Pirates of the Caribbean because it's a kids movie and also because the stakes are high, but they're played low. Like people could get killed in that movie, but you're not seeing people get killed. And in this movie, there's a scene where one of the cops, his car is flipped upside down and he's like burnt alive. And that actually happened to a cop by a biker gang. Like not that long before this was released, and they cut that scene from the Australian movie. So like that is how raw this movie weirdly is. It's like not a, how are they, anyway, I guess my worst part is the silliness makes no sense. Are you silly or are you serious? I just couldn't tell what was going on here.
You know what it reminds me of, that balance that you're talking about? It reminds me of this movie called The Return to Oz. Because I saw that when I was really young, and it is a kid's movie, but it is a kid's movie that does what we're talking about,
yeah.
Where it's, like, really sinister and really creepy and really bizarre, and it's terrifying because of that, you know?
Well, you gotta get out of Oz.
Yeah, don't go back to Oz.
Now, Rhea, what's the best part of this movie?
I think the best part of this movie is watching it, not enjoying it, but realizing how influential it was. Because in the final scene, when Max is, his arm's been run over and he's been in an accident, so his knee's crushed, and he's just like dragging himself in leather, I was like, oh, this is Terminator.
Yes.
This is the Terminator going after Sarah Connor, just dragging his body and like having to finish this thing. And so much Terminator look in that movie. And, you know, RoboCop, like, basically all the dystopian movies, totally pulling from this.
Yes.
So that's what I enjoyed watching this movie. Because I thought I had seen it before. I must have seen a different Mad Max, because I didn't remember half of it.
It is also weird, because some of it is so cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that it, like, isn't a good movie. Like, the outfits and stuff, there's a lot of cool details. The cars look cool, but then it's just not good. So it's I understand what you're saying in that you're like, oh, I mean, that's how I felt about my best part is like the car chases are so, I mean, how you could pull that off, it's mind-boggling, because they are on bikes and then they are also in cars chasing bikes, and they're in bikes chasing cars. So that means they're, I mean, how do you do that for $400,000?
And then there's somebody in another car chasing them with a camera.
How?
I mean, when you think about where the camera's placed on some of those, it's like, what the fuck?
How are they doing that? Because you'd have to have such a skilled camera operator and, like, multiple camera. I mean, how did they afford this? How did they do it?
And they did, we were talking about this too, like all of that stuff is done in camera. You know, like they shot it that way. They didn't go like, okay, just get a bunch of footage and then we'll just cram it together and do a bunch of like smash shots, which is like what, or smash cuts, which is what everybody does now, of just like, get the footage.
CGI.
It's all just like, okay, this is what we're going to shoot. I want it to look like this, and we're going to do it in the camera.
Like,
we have to use the camera.
There's a scene where the biker gang siphons gas from a tanker, truck, and it's and I was watching this going like, this doesn't make any sense because the biker gang has no problem killing people. They kill people throughout the movie. So they let the driver keep driving. They jump on the tanker truck and they like siphon gas while it's moving. And I was like just saying, how is this what this gang would do here? They would just take over the truck. They would take all the gas. Then I realized the reason that's in the movie is because they were like, hey, I bet we could do this shot. Like, some of the stuff that's in this movie is just because they were like, you know what would be amazing? If we could pull this off. So, I mean, it's like if Quentin Tarantino had no purpose for putting Zoe Bell on the front of a car, but was just like, can you just get on that car for a while? I don't know. We'll figure out what to do with it later. Ricky, do you remember anything you liked about this movie?
I remember the car chases were really amazing. And I kind of had that same reaction that Rhea was talking about earlier, where I was like, oh, man, I see, because I just watched them probably like in the last year or so. And it made me think, oh, man, this is where, what's the fucking movie? Death Proof. Here's where that just came from. And just like the whole idea of like, oh, this is what is considered a revenge movie from the 70s. Okay, it made me appreciate things about movies. That's probably
absolutely
the thing I dug the most.
It's like a film class sort of a thing.
Totally. And for as like fucked up as, sorry, excuse my language, for as messed up as Mel Gibson is as a person, this is one of those movies where when you see a guy and he shows up, you go, oh, you're going to be a movie star.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can tell like
23.
Right. Well, not right away, but pretty early on, you're like, oh, dude, this is the beginning of me watching you for a long time.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing about that is that he just went with a friend that was auditioning for this, and he'd gotten beat up the night before, and the casting director liked the way he looked when he was beat up and wanted him to come and be, like, one of the background actors. But then by the time it got around, he was healed, and they were like, oh, you're really good looking. You should read for this. And they cast him in the main part.
Yeah,
kind of amazing.
Well, so just to conclude our review in brief, Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5 Ken doll haircuts, which all of the men in this film have, what do you give Mad Max?
I'm going to give it a 3. 3 Ken doll haircuts for its influence on the action dystopian, whatever, revenge action thriller.
Ricky, do you want to scale it?
I don't want to scale it, but I do remember another great part now. Does he have a woman who plays the saxophone at one point?
Yeah, that doesn't. Yep, that's his wife.
I give it the 3 saxophone women playing saxophones.
Yeah. Don't forget about Licorice Road, like rubber tires on a licorice road.
Yeah, there's a weird singing
stick
montage in the middle.
Stick to you like a rubber tires on a licorice road.
It's pretty weird. Yeah.
It makes no sense.
I'm giving Mad Max, I'm going to give it as a movie that I enjoyed watching, 1. 1 leather police outfit. As a film class, I give it a 3. Great film class.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll leave you with this. Rhea, what do you think about this week?
I am actually thinking about, I was driving home. I had taken our dog, Murph, to the vet, and I was driving home on the 110 freeway and just popping around on the radio. And as we talked about last week, there's still a lot of unrest in Ferguson, so there's a lot of different stuff on the radio. I was listening to the news, and I tuned to an NPR station that I was unaware of before, but they, because of the news that was going on, they were playing a woman's speech, and I don't have the context for this because I missed the lead into it, but her name is Joy DeGruy, and Grew, I think is how it's pronounced, and she has a book that she wrote recently that's called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, which I have not read but plan to, because I was listening to her speech that she was giving after going to South Africa and doing like sort of outreach speaking on this book's behalf there. And I found her speech to be so touching that I just started bawling in my car on the freeway. So check her out. She has a lot of cool stuff that she's doing, and it was really moving and touching. So if you can get your hands on that speech, I don't know how you would other than looking her up because I haven't been able to find it so far. But it was just really touching to hear someone's experience that was really specific and needed at this moment. So,
Ricky, what are you thinking about?
I'm going to give some love to another show on Max Fun, Bullseye. I was listening to an episode where Jesse Thorne interviewed one of the leaders of one of my favorite rap groups from back in the day, Diggable Planets. And it's a really great interview. I think it's about two or three episodes back. And it's really great because he talks about this album, Blowout Comb, which is, you guys know Digable Planets. He had the big hit, Cool Like That. And everything, you know, the shit was everywhere. And then the next album came out and nobody bought it because it's like a really like heavy kind of like just the samples that they use, the recording, the way it's recorded has like this really crazy like AM, like mono sound to it, which at the point which at when I first heard it, I was like, oh, man, this is just weird. And now, becoming older, like I just appreciated all like the technical aspects that went into it. And he talks about that in the interview. It's just really great because he also doesn't give many interviews. He just lives his life, but he has a new band coming out. So that was really great. And buy the album Blowout Comb, where you can listen to it for free on YouTube. Yeah, and that is it.
Awesome. Well, I am thinking about comics that are doing a good job at creating entertainment using apps and social media and available platforms. And this week, Rhea and I have been talking a lot about how great Paul F. Tompkins is on Instagram specifically, because he creates these teeny little videos where he like sings along. And Paul's a friend of ours and is great at stand-up comedy. But to see somebody figure out how to put their voice into an app or a specific social media functionality is like inspiring beyond belief to me, because it's figuring out how to be your own television production studio. You know, it's figuring out how to get your stuff out there. So if you don't follow Paul on Instagram, I really like what he's doing and I think it's really unusual and different. And so I would check it out and maybe you guys can let me know what you think. I'm sure a lot of you guys already follow him, but I always watch his videos. They are interesting. It's like a thing. He's making art, actually, I think is the word I'm looking for. Art. Awesome. Well,
definitely check out Baby Shoe Skeleton.
Yeah, that's our
new favorite hit.
Baby Shoe Skeleton, the hit by Paul F. Tompkins via his Instagram. Also, for next week, we are watching Honey, I Shrunk the Kids,
what?
Which is available on Netflix Watch Instant. Until then, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I am Rhea Butcher.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun Headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis, who made it through the episode. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.